Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from our weekend service. We pray that as you listen, you will encounter the life and love of Jesus and be encouraged to experience what we've found to be the best life possible.
We're doing a sermon series right now that's called Wisdom That Works, and it's on the book of Proverbs. And he said, could you come and you could share? You don't have to share a proverb if you don't want to. You can share anything you want to. And I said, well, there's this proverb that's been stirring in my heart. And I've just sort of been dealing with it, and I've been looking at it and different things like this here. And so as a result, I'm going to share from the proverb that was stirring in my heart the second time when Stephen talked to me, and he said, we're doing this series on wisdom that works. And wisdom that works actually is talking about wisdom. And wisdom, you guys know, hopefully you guys know, wisdom in a Hebrew mindset is living skillfully. So wisdom is not about being smart. It's not about knowing everything that's here in the Bible. It's not about going in and getting all sorts of education. And by the way, I'm just going to throw this out here. Last time that I talked to you guys, I was taking classes to get my doctorate. And technically, I graduated this last spring. So if you want to, you can call me doctor. Okay? But I'm happy with Paul. So you can just keep calling me Paul if you want to. But wisdom is not about getting your doctorate. Wisdom is not about getting all your education and getting it's about living skillfully. My brother Tim often told me there's some people that are just so smart they are dumb. And what wisdom is all about is practically living out your life and using the tools that you have. So when we're talking about this series about wisdom is something that works, it's being able to take a tool and be able to use that tool. And as I'm looking up here at all these tools, I'm thinking these are not my tools. So I brought my own tools today. This is my nail apron that I have. I look cool when I wear my nail apron. I look like a man. Okay? I used to have another nail apron. It was a gray one. It was in my pickup truck. I lent my pickup truck to somebody else that was working on the battery on the car. They spent battery acid on it, and I lost my first nail apron. But this is the one that my wife got me for either a birthday or something like that, and it's got in it my hammer. This is my 16-ounce hammer that I've always used. I work construction going through college and all this kind of stuff. Work with a guy named Herb Goldsmith. You guys probably don't know who he is. But I like my 16-ounce hammer. You hold it on the end of it. You get used to it. My arm's not strong enough to do this here right now. But you get used to a hammer this long, you can drive a 16-penny nail in 3 or 4 swats. I like my 16-penny. I like my 16-ounce hammer. It's a bomb. I like going all over the place. I really have this cool pencil, too. It needs to be sharpened, but I got this pencil. Now, one of the other things that I have here that I wanted to show you guys today, this is my dad's 16-foot tape measure. There's absolutely no purpose for any 16-foot tape measure anymore. Everything's longer than 16 feet. But this is my dad's 16 feet. The clip on the backside of it is broken off. But this is my dad's tape measure. So I keep this tape measure around all the time. And the reason why I keep this tape measure around, I actually leave it in my office when I'm teaching, just to remember my dad, because my dad gave me this. This is a really cool tool. I never use it, but it's a really cool tool. And I thought I'd bring it here today. I've replaced it with a younger and a 25-foot one and all that kind of stuff. Now, here's another tool. I get to show you another tool. You guys are going to like it this year. This is my triangle. I make some lines with it. Sometimes I'll level up some things with it because I got the level on there. But you know what's the coolest thing about this particular tool? It's orange. All right, and I can see it and I can find it anytime that I'm working. Normally, I'm losing things like this here because it's bright orange. I can always find this tool. It's just like the greatest tool in the world. Now, if I would have had a wireless microphone, I would have put these on here. The other thing that I really like is really, really cool is these are my boots. Are these boots cool?
All right.
My older brother passed away 5.5 years ago. I got these boots from my older brother. They didn't fit his feet right. And I needed some boots. And he said, why don't you break in those boots for me? And then he bought some new boots from Cabela's. And he says, I don't want those boots back. But this is my brother's boots that I broke in for him and never gave back. And sometimes I will put these boots on just to do work. Between this nail apron, these jeans, and those boots, I look like a manly man. I'm telling you, I can get it done. I can get the work done, and we can do this here. Now, I'm not going to pull it out. I'm not going to plug it in because I'm looking at my time right now. But this is my circular saw. This is my favorite tool that I have because it makes a lot of noise, and it really destructs a lot of things. I got a carbide tip blade on it so I can cut through nails. Okay, I like this thing. It's like making all sorts of things. I have another really cool tool at home. It's an air compressor. I clean things. I put air in things and all this kind of stuff. My wife won't let me have an air gun because the last time that I borrowed one, I shot a nail into my other hand as I was doing there. And I missed the end of the Royals game, too, that I was trying to watch while I was building a wall. But now we come to the last tool that I'm going to show you. This is my level. People, let me tell you about this level. 18 years ago, tomorrow, I married the world's most beautiful woman. In the modern society that we live in, you have to go to the wedding showers. And so I had to go to a wedding shower. I'm sitting around. They're opening up all these gifts. They're really for her. We're sitting around. We're doing nothing. And somebody gave me a level. Somebody gave me a 4-foot wood level with all sorts of bubbles on it. I use lines with it. I cut the sheetrock with it. This is the bomb. Let me tell you, men, if you have to go to one of those wedding showers where you have to be tortured to sit there and do those things, buy the prospective groom a tool and let him open it. This is one of the most cherished tools that I have. You'll notice it's real clean. I never use it. But I love this tool. It just makes you feel manly. Okay? And what we're doing is we're looking for tools that you can use with your life. Well, as we're going through the book of Proverbs, we're looking for tools that we can use. The great thing about Proverbs is contemplative material, and you're supposed to think about the material. You're supposed to think about, you're actually supposed to take these marshals and you're supposed to read them and say, what does that mean? And you're supposed to reflect upon them. That's what's supposed to happen with you. You're supposed to reflect upon them. So we've got the first phrase up here, the first part of the phrase of Proverbs 14:12. And like I said, when Stephen called me, I was sort of rolling over my head and I was thinking about this particular proverb. This particular proverb is pretty incredible because it's found in two different places in the book of Proverbs. It's the only proverb that's found in two different places. It's found in chapter 14 and chapter 16. As you guys know, Solomon didn't necessarily write the book of Proverbs. He accumulated and oversaw the collection of all the Proverbs that's going to occur. In fact, there's some passages that says the sayings of occur or the sayings of so-and-so. And he sort of oversaw the putting together of this whole thing. It was important enough for this proverb to make it in two different sections. And the first part of the proverb says, there's a way that seems right to man. I want everybody right now, I'm going to try to be quiet for 30 seconds, and I want you to think about the way that seems right to man. What's the way to get to heaven according to man? What's the way to have a good life? What's the way to just be happy? Okay, I'm too hyper. I can't wait 30 seconds. Here we go. But hopefully you guys are thinking. You guys are thinking about the way that seems right to man. This last week I was talking to another umpire. For those people that don't know me, I officiate volleyball, basketball, and I umpire. And I was talking to another umpire, and usually when I'm talking to people out there, sometimes we end up talking about God things. Okay? But we were talking before the game and in between games and various different times throughout the course of the game. By the way, one reason why you need to not yell at basketball officials and volleyball officials and umpires is because I'm trying to share Jesus with them. And you all need to not be negative and not get on their nerves, because that changes the subject. Okay? So I'll just throw it out there. But anyway, I'm talking to this guy, and as we're talking about different things, here's what he says. He says to me, I believe that every morning when I get up, I need to look to do good things for the people that's around me. I need to put things into their lives, because I believe that if I put things and if I put positive things and if I do good things for the people's lives of all the people that's around me, good things are going to come back to me. I do good so that good will happen to me. As I've thought and as I've contemplated about different things, that is the way that seems right to man. Is that not right? When we think about the right way to be, if you do good to other people, if you do unto others good, then good things will happen to you. Right? And if you're doing something wrong, if something bad happens to you, they'll say, he must not be living right. If good things are happening to you, they say, hey, he's living right. Because he's living right, that good thing's going to be happening to him. We call it, I'm sorry, I know, I'm in a Christian church. We call it karma. You want to have good karma going for you, don't you? If you do good things, you do this, you do this, you do this here, good things are going to happen to you. Same thing happens here in the church. If I do good things, if I plug into the Servolution, if I go on the missions trip, if I do this, if I do that, if I give them my tithe and offering, I serve the Sunday school, if I do all those things, I'm going to make God happy. God's going to smile down on me, and he's going to take me to heaven. Basically, kind of what we say a lot of times is we say, if we really think about the way that we think, the way that seems right to us, what makes sense to us, you do good, you'll get good. You do good, you'll go to heaven. If I do good to my wife, my wife's going to do good by me. If I do good by my kids, we're going to have a good thing. We talk about, that's the way that, are you guys on the same page with me? Do you guys agree with me? That's the way that if we just talk to an average person out there, they're going to tell us that's the way that seems right. Yeah? I talk to somebody who has troubles, they say, I got to get back in church. Why do they got to get back in church? Because they feel like they got to do something good. And if you do something that's good, God's going to smile at you and he's going to do it. That's what seems right to us. But let's look at the second part of the problem. Just trying to be good, just trying to be happy, just trying to live by good karma on the people around you, it's going to lead to death. That's what the wisdom says. If you're just doing it to get something back to you, you can try all you want to. At the end of the day and at the end of your life, when you stand before God, it's going to lead to death. If all you're doing is just good things, I'm trying to check off. Good thing, good thing, good thing, good thing. I'm trying to avoid, I'm not that bad. I ought to go to heaven. If I do that, how's it going to work? Now, when I begin to look at that, if the way that seems right to me, if the way and the thing that I'm doing seems like it's the right way to me, and maybe I ought to find another way. One thing that I think that's really interesting in both Proverbs 14 and 16, and it's hard to read context in the book of Proverbs because you have all these unique Proverbs that are there. You really can't look at the context. But sometimes there's a grouping of Proverbs that's around, and the grouping of Proverbs and what's happening with those other Proverbs will give you an indicator of what this Proverb is talking about, because they're kind of similar Proverbs. Okay, so what I want to do is I wanted to glance right at the first three verses of Proverbs chapter 16. And I wanted you guys to see these three Proverbs that are happening at the beginning of chapter 16. They're contrasting Proverbs. And contrasting Proverbs show two varying ways of doing life. And if we click to the next screen right here, we're going to see three of these. I'm going to read them and you guys can contemplate them just very quickly. The preparations of a heart belong to a man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your ways to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Here's what I see in these contrasting Proverbs that's going on. We're talking about two different ways of living your life. We're talking about living the way of the man and living the way of the Lord. We're talking about living the way of the man. We're talking about living the way of the Lord. And the proverb is saying, live the way of the Lord. You understand what's happening is there's two different ways that you can live. You've got a choice. You can even live the way that seems right to man. In the end, it's going to lead to death. Well, you can live the way of the Lord. Look at this other one. This is in verse 9. It says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs him. What is it doing? It's talking about there's man's way, there's the Lord's way. And if I look and I see that, the question that comes in my mind is, if there's the man's way and it leads to death, and then there is the Lord's way, it's probably going to lead to life. And the question is, what is the Lord's way? And fortunately for us, when Jesus was here on earth, somebody directly asked them this question. They said, what must we do to do the works of God that he requires of us? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this: to believe in the one he has sent. I'm looking at you guys and I'm saying to you, there's a way that seems right to man, it's going to end up in death. The way that seems right, that is right, is the Lord's way. And that's to believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. And to put your faith and your trust in him. And to begin to rely upon him. The question that I ask is, I ask, what should I need to believe? And when I look into the scriptures, what the scripture says, yes, these things are written that you're going to believe. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that by believing in him, you have life in his name. See, there's the way of the man, and there's the way of the Lord. And the way of the Lord is to put your faith, your trust, and your belief in Jesus Christ. And if you put your faith and your trust and your belief in Jesus Christ, then he's going to begin to transform your life. Here's the story, and I just have to tell you guys this story. God wanted to interact with man. He wanted to interact with somebody who had a choice about whether or not they would spend time with him. Because if you have a choice, love is so much better when that person has chosen you. You don't want to just be with somebody. You don't want to just spend time with somebody. You want somebody who chose you. And that's what makes you special, and that's what makes love. So when God created man and put him in the garden, he gave them a choice. The original choice that he had was to meet with him in the cool of the day every day and just to commune with him in the garden. And all they had to do is to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But man didn't choose God. They chose to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And now all they had to do is they had to choose to not do good, not do evil, and to do good. And God still wanted to have a relationship with them. God still wanted to call on them. You see God calling and he's speaking to Noah. You see God coming and calling on Abram and Moses. And he just wants to commune with the people. And they just have to choose him. They just have to believe. That's as simple as just accepting it. And some men did it. Noah listened and lived by faith. Abraham did it. He lived by faith. And others chose not to. One of the saddest things that I'm kind of looking at this last half a year that just keeps coming back to me over and over again is in Exodus chapter 20, we have the Ten Commandments. And if you look right after the Ten Commandments, if you read Exodus chapter 19, it says, God wanted the people to come up on the mountain and experience his presence. But first, they needed to hear God speak to Moses. And God gave the Ten Commandments. And right after that, in Exodus chapter 20, it says, and the horn sounded, and the people were supposed to come up on the mountain, but they were afraid, and they held back. And they said, Moses, you go up on the mountain, and you hear from God, and you tell us what God wants us to hear. See, God wanted all of Israel to come up on the mountain and worship. I can show you 10 different times between Exodus chapter 12 and Exodus chapter 20 where the reason why they're going out, the reason why they're leaving Egypt is not for their own freedom. The reason why they're leaving Egypt is to worship God on the mountain. And they get to the mountain, and because of the physical manifestations, they were afraid and they stayed back. And they didn't choose God. And he sends his son. And as he shares the things that he believes, and as he begins to do that, many of the people rejected him. And they rejected him enough to take him and hang him on a cross. And God used the shedding of his blood to cover over the sins. And he provided the Holy Spirit so that we could boldly come into the presence of God. The same way that God wanted to have a personal relationship with Adam and Eve in the garden, God wants to have a personal relationship with each and every person that's in this room. And by his Holy Spirit, he wants to come and he wants to have a relationship with you. And he wants to have a relationship with you. And he wants to have a relationship with you. And he wants to have a relationship with every single person that's in this room. God wants to have that relationship. And he's calling to you. And he's calling by the Holy Spirit. And there's a choice you got to make. There's a choice for you to do it the way that it seems right to you. Or you can do it the Lord's way and just believe in him. Put your trust in him. There's one of the things that I've discovered in my life. Oh. Is that his way is a way of love. I think it's kind of interesting that early on in Jesus' ministry, in fact, I just read this here last night. They asked him what the greatest commandment was, and he says, love the Lord your God with all your hearts, soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you do these things, you'll do the entire law and the prophets. The reason why that's kind of interesting to me is because his law is a law of love. And he sums up everything that's in the Bible in just that phrase, if you love. If you love, you'll fulfill everything that's in this book. That means that I need to consider the interests of people above my own. But at the end of his ministry in the upper room right here in John chapter 13, he takes it to another level. And he doesn't say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. He says, I give you a new commandment. And that new commandment is that you love as I have loved. the Lord's way is not just to love Him and to love others as we would love them. But the Lord's way is to love others as Jesus would love them. That takes it to a lot higher level. Because for me, I might look at another person and I might say, man, I can help that person. But one of the best ways I can help that person is I can let them stand on my own two feet. I wish somebody would just leave me alone, let me stand on my own two feet. So I'm just going to leave that person alone on their own, let them stand on their own two feet. They'll learn to do that. That'll be good for them. I think that's what I think's best for them. So, sometimes the way that we love and our perspective of love is not the same perspective of God. I think there may be a difference where Jesus may come over and He may be standing beside Him and saying, okay, let's get on your feet here. Let's see whether or not we can do that. And the way that He loves is probably different and more of a challenging way to love than our way. But that's the Lord's way. That's not always the way. See, sometimes if we're doing it the Lord's way, we're not going to do things the way that seems right to us. Sometimes we've got to go to another level. I've found, and as I've looked in this world, I've seen four different types of people. If I was with a youth group right now, I'd pull people out of the audience and have my four people standing here. You're going to have to use your imagination right now. Number one person is ignorant. The reason why they're a sinner and the reason why they're headed toward hell is because they've never heard of Jesus. They're totally oblivious to the idea. Sometimes when we hear them and we see them, we say, how in the world can you even think that way? They just don't know. They're doing what seems right to them. And their way's going to end up in death. The second type of person knows the way. And they know the truth. And for some reason or another, they've decided the truth is not the way that I want to live my life. They're rebellious. They're just saying, I want to live my life this way. This is what I want to do. This is what's best for me. Da, 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 da. I'm here. They're doing what seems right to them. And it's going to end up in death. It makes sense. I've heard this at school. I've heard people out in the world say this here. I think this is the right way. The third type of person is kind of an interesting type of person. I think that they fill our churches today. They don't call it karma, but they live for good karma. They're doing all the right things. They're attending church. They give in the offering. They do all these things. And at the end of the day, they'll stop and they'll say, God's going to take me into heaven because I've been good. And I would call them disillusioned. Because they're still doing what seems right in their own mind. And then there's this last category of people that's going to be going to heaven. And they're actually living it the Lord's way. They realize that their righteousness or the good things that they would do in this world are like filthy rags to God. They realize that even if I tried and even if I did everything I could possibly do, I'm going to fall short of the holiness of God. They're lost and undone. And all they can do is just say, God, it's you. Now, here's the really sad thing. Here's the really sad thing if I was to look at this thing. The person who's ignorant I love sharing Jesus with them. They just don't know. They just don't know. And as they come to know Jesus Christ, and as they hear that information, it may take them a while. It may take them 7, 8, 9, 10 times of different people telling them about Jesus. But they come and they grow and they begin to learn. And as they come to hear the truth, they realize, I fall short. And so they're more likely to come over here and end up into category 4. This person that knows and is acting in outright rebellion, to be honest with you, I don't mind confronting that person because they know the truth. They know what's right. In fact, a lot of times when I talk to them, I'll say things like, well, you know that Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. You know that you need to turn your life around. And they say, yeah, but I'm just not doing it at this time of my life. I would rather talk to this person because of their transparency and their honesty. The hardest person to confront is this person because they really do believe. They really do believe that what they're doing is going to get them to heaven. They really do believe that what they're doing is going to bring happiness in their lives and there's not going to be a void. If I'm just doing all these things, these people are the hardest people to speak to. They are like me when it comes to tools. Let me explain. Of all the tools that I've really showed you, if I'm being honest and transparent, the hammer's really the only one that I can use well. Okay, and then my arm gets tired and then I can't use it very well at all. Okay? I had to readjust my belt 3 or 4 different times. I'm not really used to this thing and I don't use it all the time. I never use my dad's tape measure. Usually when I'm wearing my brother's boots, I'm doing it just because it's kind of sporty and I'm going to go shovel some snow or something like that. This tool right here, I know how to use it, but I never use it. It hangs on my pegboard. Oh, I've got an incredible pegboard with all my tools hanging up there. They just hang on the wall and they look great. I mean, it's just fabulous. Okay? When I use my circular saw, honestly, it's scary. I break all the rules. The deck on my saw is never at the right age. Sometimes I'm moving it around. It's not at the right level. I never wear safety glasses. I've had wood chips in my eyes so many times, it's pitiful. I mean, I don't use these tools properly. But I worked myself through college doing construction. And I know just enough to be dangerous. And that's the way it is with a lot of people in their, when it comes to Christianity and pleasing God. Oh, this was my dad's tool. I've watched my dad use this tool. Oh, I've seen the people around the church. Oh, Sister Hilga, she just loves the Lord so much. I've seen her out do this. And you know, when Sister Hilga praises the Lord, she lifts up her hands like this here and sort of shakes it a little bit. So I think when I lift my hand up, I'm going to shake it just a little bit because I've seen her do that. I don't know why it's shaking, but I'm going to do that because that's the way that good people do that. I'm going to put on nice, shiny things. We're going to look good. I've walked into the church building. I've seen other people, how they live their Christian walks. They talk about reading their Bible, their one-year Bible. So I'm going to carry a one-year Bible around because it looks really cool. It looks like I'm going through the Bible every year. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to look cool. And occasionally I'll pick up a tool that somebody gave me a long time ago, and I'll quote a scripture, and it's just really cool, and it's really happening there. You know? Honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. I built a shed at my house. And that shed's going to be good enough. But there's things that I can point to it, that there are things that are wrong with that shed. And I had to go back and I had to redo some things on it when I realized that certain things is wrong. Because I tried to build it by myself and in my own ability. And honestly, I'm not really a carpenter. I know just enough to make dangerous. if I want to build a house, and I've always got this dream in the back of my mind to build a house for myself someday, I'm going to contact somebody else. I'm going to find somebody who knows what they're doing.
Pastor Steve invites you to respond to what you've just heard by putting it into action today. Thanks for listening.